Welcome to the Bigger Room Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Bender.
And I'm Mel Kobian. And today we're going to talk about why you will fail at everything you try.
That's right. We said it. You're going to fail
at everything.
That's pretty mean, Mel. Why are you saying that?
I don't know, Jill.
We could take the passive route of this topic and say everybody needs to fail before they get anywhere. I mean, fail forward. As long as you're trying, you're probably going to fail at something. But with this was my topic idea, and the reason I came up with it is because most people fail because they give up so quickly. They try. How many people have we seen over the last year online where they are, oh my God, I'm going to work my ass off. I'm going to do all these things. I'm so excited. And then 2 weeks in, you don't hear from them again. Oh, what happened? Oh, there's way more work than I thought it was going to be.
It's just like that.
It is.
it's a lot of work. It's like, I think it's because people have this expectation. The moment you have expectations of things being easy, even though there's no premise of how things are going to go because everybody's different, you're going to. So, for example, when people are talking about making money online with 2 to 3 hours of work every single day, well, you and I are different people, right, Jill? My productivity and your productivity could look completely different. It may take me 2 to 3 hours to get a task done, and it could take you all day. So it's going to feel like more work. And there's nothing that anyone can control. And so people have that expectation that your journey is just going to be your journey. And people focus on that end goal, and they don't focus on the journey. So then you're going to fail. The moment you focus on comparing your results to somebody else, you're going to fail.
Right. And if we look at Mel and I actually was thinking about this earlier, Mel, I think Mel is probably, like, I picture in my mind that she gets a little bit more done in the day than I do. And I was thinking about it, and like, she is literally just home. Like, she doesn't have to go pick up her son from school. She doesn't have anybody to go, pick up and then have this. I don't want to call it an interruption in a negative way, because I absolutely love my son. But it is a huge interruption into my day. It's not like I just sit here and, work all day. I work and then I'm interrupted. I go get my son. And then until he goes to bed again, whether or not I'm going to work after that, like, that's a big gap of time. But today, he's not home. And I went to somebody else's house just to work. And I was like, wow, there are no distractions here. I can just work, and I can just there. I did get a lot of things done. I thought I was going to get a lot more done, but there's just not enough time when you have a big list, I guess. But yeah, so if I were comparing myself to Mel, that would be absolutely be stupid. That would be so stupid of me, because we have nothing the same going on.
No,
in
we
our
have
lives.
Different lives. Yeah, I don't have the responsibility of a kid. My wife is deployed, so I'm literally by myself. So I get to get a lot of things done.
The other reason that you're going to fail at everything you try, well, the biggest reason, which I think I already said, but the biggest reason is you're just going to keep sitting there watching people move forward in life, and you're not going to take action. How many times have you started a New Year's resolution list and not knocked anything off that list? And then the next year you write that same damn list. I'm going to do it this year. And you never do. You will consume and consume and consume and scroll through videos, getting inspired. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And then the next day you don't do anything.
That's what happens to a majority of people. The new year rolls in, whatever you celebrate, and you're already thinking of, this is the year that I'm going to do this. This is my year. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to quit my 9-to-5. And then you're super motivated and ready to take action. But then you lose focus by comparing yourself, which we just talked about. And that really does start the rabbit hole. It really does start with comparing yourself to others, especially with fitness, because again, just like we talked about you and I having a different life, we also have different genetic makeup. We have different things that work for my body that are not going to work for your body. And we could literally
Mel's like 10 feet taller than me.
Kind of, yeah. It's not an exaggeration. But, you know, it's like we could literally be doing the same thing. We could be eating the same exact thing, but we're going to have different results. And until you guys respect that about yourself, you're going to give up. Honestly, I just see that people don't have the self-respect to show up for themselves. And it's kind of sickening to see sometimes, because people will wake up. If your boss told you, Jill, you need to be here at 4 a.m. Are you going to show up at 4 a.m.? You are.
Yep.
Why?
Because
your boss told you. Why is it that people can't get up an hour earlier so that they can go for a walk, or they can get in what they need to do to get ahead in life?
Because nobody's paying them to do it.
But it's not
worth
it.
They're not getting paid. Well,
it's not worth it to them, though, because nobody's going to pay you to get healthy. Nobody's going to pay you to start a business. It's never going to happen.
Never. Right. You have to find that thing. So that is why people don't do it. That's the answer they're going to give you every day. Well, nobody's paying me to do it. Okay. Well, then you don't want it bad enough. If you want something, then you have to make it happen. There is no one that's going to hold your hand and guide you and show up at your house and bang on your window outside and say, get the fuck out of bed. Yeah. You have to be that person. You have to be it for yourself. Even an accountability partner, even though they're helpful, I use extreme caution with weight loss and accountability partners, because I have had many of them where like, yeah, we're going to do this together. And then they die off and they're like, oh, I stopped doing that last week. And then I want to keep going, but something changed in my own mind. And now my mindset has totally crashed. And then I stopped too. And it's happened so many times. So now when anybody says, you want to do this together? I'm like, fuck no. Go do it yourself. And inspire me to do it later. And maybe I'll do it for myself. But no,
Is that how you felt when I texted you the other day?
No, like a challenge is something different, because we would join a challenge. Like a challenge is different. So Mel recently said, do you want to do this weight loss, or not weight loss challenge? It was like a physical fitness like, let's get healthier.
Like a wellness challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to do this challenge. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in. And that is different because it's a challenge. So we're going to challenge each other. And when you're an accountability partner, you're kind of doing it together. And I don't know why that is different in my head, but it definitely is different. So if we're doing a challenge, I'm going to try and beat you. But if I'm working with an accountability partner, I'm not trying to beat them. You know, that's what I would say the difference would be. So on that note, it's the beginning of April and Mel has challenged me and another friend to walk 10,000 steps every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we decided.
We sit a lot, right? We're creating content. We have to sit down. We're researching for content. We're sitting down. We're recording podcasts. We're sitting down. We're hosting our masterminds. We're sitting down. So it's great to be a business owner, but things have gotten a little sedentary. So we're going to have this challenge of walking 10,000 steps every single day, because we get to.
Oh, we do. That's right. We do get to. I used to be able to, I would walk like 10 to 12 was my average when I worked. And I worked at a desk. I don't even know how I got that many steps. I must go to the bathroom a lot or something. It was no problem. So when I would tell, when I did my 100 days of walking challenge for my TikTok channel a couple years ago, I was telling some friends, I was like, yeah, I'm getting like 20,000 steps. And they're like, shit, I can't even get 10 in a day. And I'm like, 10 is easy. Like 10's not hard. But now that I work for myself, 10 is fucking hard. I don't know what happened. It is hard. And I work out like with my personal trainer, but that's only twice a week. And I'm doing like high knees, I'm doing things that are giving me steps, but I still will end the day with like 6,200 steps. I'm like, oh my God, 10,000 steps is so hard. So hopefully the weather gets nice because I don't live in beautiful California like you do, Mel. But I have a membership at a gym, I guess. But 10,000 steps on a fucking treadmill.
That's but it's just to highlight the areas that, again, we're being sedentary. So we have this feedback, hey, you're not moving. So we get to, that's the thing. We hold on to the beauty of it, which is we get to. We're not gonna like it,
So
but that's fine.
bigger room fans, if you want to join our challenge, we would love for you to join our challenge. Let us know. Send us a message or tag us in on our Instagram page, which is The Bigger Room, and let us know you're joining the challenge. The more, the merrier.
I love it. I hope you guys join. And with that, Jill, so people can either be an example or a warning in every single pillar of life. So we just talked about how we have this wellness challenge to push our fitness forward. And the cost of it is if we don't, do we then start, our health starts declining? So that happens a lot too, right? People do have success. So what's the whole point of having financial success if your health is going down? Right. Now you're an example in this pillar, but you're a warning to others in this pillar. So
That's
you
true.
have to, you really have to get raw and tell yourself, am I an example or am I a freaking warning? And if that doesn't light you on fire to actually take action, then you don't care. It's that simple.
Then you're gonna fail.
I mean, you're gonna fail. Exactly.
You're gonna keep failing.
My previous mentor used to say, somebody's got to flip burgers at McDonald's, but it's not going to be me.
That's right. Mel, success is abundant. We know this. There is an infinite amount of money out there. There's no scarcity with money. And how many times do people approach us and say, "Oh, well, isn't this whole industry getting saturated?" How do you respond to that? I get that all the time. I've been getting that ever since I started doing anything online.
Yeah, that's definitely something that continues to come up is, or if it's really true or if it's that easy, why isn't everyone else doing it? And it's because exactly your response. So that's what I tell people. I kind of just turn it around on them and it's like, because everybody thinks like you, that everybody else is doing it. And the truth is that that's not the case.
That's definitely not the case. And part of the reason is people aren't doing it is because, there's, let's admit it, there's people that don't want to do it. But probably 90% of the people that do it, they start it and it's way harder than they expected. It takes up more time than they expected. They thought they were just going to record a couple videos for 1 week and then all of a sudden they're just going to be rolling in the dough. Once they realize that, it realistically, most of it for if you're trying to like grow on social media, realistically, unless you hit some, I'm trying to think of like a game, but a Mario Kart speed freaking arrows or whatever, they're gonna propel you forward quicker, which I'm talking about you have some video that goes viral. You're probably looking at 6 months of putting in actual work and showing up every day. And a lot of people can't deal with that reality, and they do not stick around that long at all. They do not see it through the long haul.
Yeah, because people want the path of least resistance. That's just what it is. And that is why you're going to fail. Because most things in life take time, especially when you're doing things organically. So, in reference to creating social media accounts, it's going to take about 3 or 6 months of consistent work to start gaining traction. Same thing in finances or nutrition. It's going to take time to start seeing results.
Just like when you start a new diet, most of the diets do work, but people don't see immediate success and then they give up. It's not working. I didn't lose 100 pounds in 2 weeks like I thought I was going to. I'm done. This doesn't work. It's a scam. It's a hoax. I knew it wouldn't work.
People can either be willing or unwilling. It's one or the other. Just like you can either be an example or a warning. So every time people do have resistance over, or what we would call an objection to starting an online business or starting a fitness journey, you're still either willing to do it despite all the, you know, the ups and downs that happen in all journeys. And then there's people that are just unwilling to take action. And if you start leading your life like that, like, today I am unwilling to work on my health, I'm gonna go eat all this stuff instead because I am unwilling to work on my health today. And that's totally fine. But just imagine if you gave yourself that feedback and be honest with it. Are you being a willing person or an unwilling person? Are you being the example you need to be, or are you a warning to others?
Am I your example right now? Because this week I have been unwilling to work on my healthy diet. I have a nightmare right now.
You've been very unwilling this week. But what does it do for you when you give yourself that feedback? Because it's not easy to admit that.
It doesn't do anything for me. The thing I do think it does is it certainly doesn't make me change my mind. It does not make me say, oh, you're right, like, let's not do this. But what it does do is set me down a more negative path and a road to even worse decisions. The thing that has been the most successful right now is my personal trainer. She's like, all right, the first day I worked out with her, and she said, I'll talk to you about diet, nutrition, and all that good stuff later. And so I'm like, all right. And so then we were almost done, and I said, were you going to tell me anything about diet, nutrition? And she's like, oh yeah, just eat less. And I'm like, oh, what? And she said, yeah, I'm not giving you anything, because most people don't stick to anything you give them anyway. But she said, that's how I do it. I just eat less. So if you have dinner, just eat less than you would have normally eaten. And she's like, look at me, Jill, I make cakes. I love making cakes. I love making, you know, all kinds of desserts. And I have two cakes sitting on my counter right now that I made. She said, I want to eat those cakes. I'm just going to eat less. She said, and that's how I've always done it. And I'm like, okay. So more recently, I can hear her in my head, and it's been effective, because I will, like, I'm going back up. I'm going to just take a little bit more. And then I hear her say, just eat less, Jill. And it's not a demand. It's just a very casual, just eat less. And I'm like, you can do this. Just eat less. And then I'll say, maybe half the time it does work, but that works better than anything else that I say in my head. So
you're focused on you, right? And that's all that matters.
What's some other reasons that you think people fail?
People fail because they have the fear of failing. And so people don't start, but by not starting and not taking action, you're already failing. And it's this vicious circle. It's just this vicious circle. And then when you start paying attention to the common reasons people are afraid, it's usually what are people going to say, or what are people going to think? And it's because of sometimes what happens, and I see this a lot, is people overcommit. So they go on social media and they talk about, oh, I started this, you know, detailing car business, and this is what I'm doing. And then, you know, they go super hard on saying it to others, because again, often people want to impress others, right? They're not actually taking action because it's their purpose or that's actually what they want to do for the rest of their life. But by trying to impress others and then they overcommit to this goal and they put it out there for the world to see, and then they slowly stop taking action toward that goal, and then they fail, and now they're kind of embarrassed. They're like, oh, you know, I started this business and it's not going so well, and now I'm just going to go back into my house and never come back outside again. And that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen in multiple circles. Overcommitting and the fear of failure.
Yeah. And I was listening to Gary Vee, and he was talking about how we fucked up kids with, like, it was, I think, 20, 25 years ago, we started giving out participation awards. So everybody got an award just for being there, just for showing up. And these kids now are growing into adults, and they've never failed. They were always given something anyway. Like, I don't even have to try. I don't even have to do anything. I don't even have to be the best. I don't have to win at that sport or that race or anything, because I'm still going to get rewarded. And so now they're becoming adults and they're terrified to do anything because they've never failed at anything. So starting something would mean they would have to fail, and they don't know what failing feels like. And that in itself is holding them back also from trying anything.
Yeah. And that's why they're going to fail at everything.
Yeah. And they're just going to stay stuck with whatever they're doing. And I didn't know if they had gotten rid of that participation thing. But we were just at hockey for my son, and they had these like skills trainings or whatever. And we came out and they had all these little medals and that they were going to hang out. But there were definitely more kids than medals there. I'm like, ooh, I was actually getting excited. I'm like, does not every kid get a fucking medal just because they're here? And I knew my son was going to be sad, and he's not the best skater. He's a good skater, he's fast, but his skills could use a little work, and it's his first year, he's not there yet, right? And I know there's kids that are way more advanced than he is, and I was sad that he wouldn't get a medal, but I was still in my head going, thank God not everybody gets a medal. So they really only gave the top two kids in each category, and then each age bracket, the top two, the first and the second place got awards, and that was it. And everybody else, you get to go home. And I was secretly cheering inside. So I don't know if that's for every sport, or maybe it's only in hockey. But yeah, it's maybe they got rid of it.
It's because you're not in California.
Why?
California is big on participation trophies.
Still?
Yeah. Yeah. But you bring up a good point. Your mind starts getting shaped since you're a kid. So kids not learning the harsh lessons of it's not fair, and actually earning.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough lesson, but you have to learn it as a kid. We were just talking about participation trophies and the lessons you have to learn as a kid. And prior to recording this episode, I was telling Jill that my parents were over the weekend before. And I don't recall what we were talking about, but we were talking about discipline. And I asked my mom, when was the last time she hit my little brother? He's 18 years old now. He's a grown man. But she never hit my little brother, whereas me and my older sibling got some good beatings. And Jill and I were talking about spanking. What do we think about spanking, Jill?
Yeah, I definitely got spanked. My dad, I told Mel that my dad, he's like a woodworker as his side hobby. And we were so special that my woodworking father made a custom paddle that had my sister's name on one side and my name on the other side. And it was written in a little fancy font, and the whole thing was stained, and it was pretty, and it hung in our kitchen. And my sister would tease me because she was a bit older than me, and so she was taller. and she could reach it and she would turn it so it'd show my name out there first. And she's like, you're going to get hit first. And that fucked with me. But the paddle didn't hurt because the paddle was too thick. And so my dad knew that. And if we were really in trouble, we were getting a belt. And I still know the sound of the jingle of the belt being taken off before he comes stomping down the hall. And we are scrambling to try and be the person on the bottom of the pile as you're throwing kids above you so you don't get it first. And I do remember one time I put a book in my pants and I thought I was so smart. And I wish I could. I'll ask my dad, but I doubt he's going to remember it. And maybe he does. But if I went to spank my kid and they had a rectangle butt, I would have started cracking up. I don't know if he thought it was funny or if he was so mad that he was coming in there to yell at us and spank us anyway for whatever he did. If he was so mad that he did not care that I had a rectangle butt, I think he told me to take it out. But yeah, I tried it. It did not work.
So what are we saying about spanking?
That just goes with more of the discipline. And we tried things as kids. And some of it got us in trouble.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything like ridiculous that you guys got in trouble for? Or anything I always have a story. So I have a really fun story about getting hit.
Sure, Jill.
So breakdancing was pretty popular when I was, I don't know if I was quite in middle school. I think I was in grade school. And my sister was in middle school and she knew like all the cool stuff. She was always very trendy. And she had probably from like a weekly or like a scholastic kind of newsletter thing where you get to order the books. She bought a breaktech, like a how-to breakdance book. And it was the middle of the day. This is the part of the story that we never understand quite right. My mom wasn't home. My dad told us we were supposed to be cleaning, I think. We were supposed to be cleaning our rooms. And then his workshop was downstairs. But he could freaking hear everything we were doing upstairs. Every walk, every jump, every movement, he could hear it downstairs. And I know he yelled up there one time, like, you better be cleaning your room. Well, I think we had the room cleaned up. I do remember it looking pretty clean. And it was my sister, who's older than me, and then my brother, who's 2 years younger than me. And we were standing in our room. My sister and I shared a room. And we were trying to practice, like, the, I don't know what it's called, but, you know, where you do, like, the arm and it slinks up and, like, slinks over to the other one. And it comes back and you can, like, pass it to the next person and come back. We were trying that. And we were barely even moving. I have no idea how Sonic Ears heard that, but all of a sudden he came up and we started fucking scrambling and we all got hit. It was a sunny day. Like, I don't know what, we must have been in trouble. I'm guessing we were in trouble. And yeah, I don't know if that was a funny story to anybody, but it's funny in our minds because we were just trying to learn how to break dance. And we got,
oh God,
spanked.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here thinking of, like, when did I get hit and when did I deserve it? And I'm like, I don't remember ever thinking it was funny.
Yeah.
Though I definitely got disciplined a lot. I think I blocked all that out, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Even when I was growing up, I remember not that many kids did get spanked. And when I don't want to call it get hit, because I think of like getting hit, like they're coming and they're going to smack you across the face or something. I never got hit.
Well, I got it. Was always, I got hit.
You got hit? And you're way younger than me, so that's pretty surprising.
Well, I'm also Mexican. No,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I remember when we were growing up, there was only one other family that I knew very well, but that I knew also got spankings if they were in trouble. But that was a long time ago. It was not that accepted at that time either. So it was accepted, like nobody's calling the cops on anybody, but most families were not doing it anymore. And so we were I think we were best friends, so maybe we bonded over the fact that we had parents that spanked our asses.
Heck yeah. I just remember the one thing my mom that really upset her was if I, it wasn't that we talked back, but we made a specific sound with our mouth, like after, if she would say something and we didn't like it, and then we would go, oh, we better watch out, because that's what would get us beat big time.
What did you usually get hit with?
Mostly the belt. Or the good old chancla, which is a sandal. Yeah.
White people don't use the sandals for some reason.
Yeah, why?
They hurt. The sandal.
That was mostly it. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, yeah, my mom even, like, she still denies a lot of the times. And my dad. My dad was definitely, he was more, like, more physical. But my mom was mostly the belt and the sandal.
My mom never hit us with the belt.
Yeah.
My dad hit us with the belt. We got the hand. We got a wooden spoon was the classic. My brother, she went to hit my brother with the wooden spoon. And I remember she hit him and that spoon cracked right in half. Oh, he must have been getting a little bit older and getting buns of steel or something. But
busted oh, my gosh.
Right in half. Go ahead.
We used to get pinched in church.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We would get spanked after church because we never behaved in church. We want to ask the listeners, why do you think you're failing? Is it like what's stopping you? What's stopping you from, if you're starting something online, what's stopping you from creating content? What's stopping you from, you know, posting whatever you need to post, or maybe you started a t-shirt business? Like, what is stopping you from doing the things that you need to do? I want you to really think that over, even if you go as far as get a pen and paper and jot down some ideas and see if there's ways, now that you've pointed them out, maybe there's ways that you can figure out internally how to overcome a couple of those objections. Like, starting your online business is an easy one for us to talk about, but people always say, oh, I don't have the money to start. It's fucking free. You can make a piece of content and post it, and it doesn't cost you anything. It is free. You're not paying for advertising. You're not paying for anything. You just hold your camera up, you make the content, or you go and take some content and make it yours. That costs you literally nothing. So there's other things that are holding you back, and I challenge you to dig deep and see if you can figure a couple of them out.
Yeah, and if you realize that it's just a lack of confidence, make sure to listen to our episode, 6 Ways to Build Your Confidence.
Yes, that's a good episode.
So remember to invite that feedback in, invite the bigger room, and we'll see you in the next episode.